Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, just outside of Boone. And you are listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We always take just a moment and let you know just a little bit about our church and the ministries that we have available. The services we have: Sunday morning, 10 a.m., Sunday school for all ages, 11 a.m., our Sunday morning worship service. Then every Wednesday night at 7 p.m., we have our midweek prayer and Bible study. And of all the things we do, that is certainly near the top of the list, or at the top of the list, is when we meet together and have prayer. And so much to pray about, so many special objects, sickness, people that have lost loved ones, lots of things. We need to pray for our country. And so the Bible says, if two or three of you are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And so what a privilege it is to be able to gather together and have prayer meeting on Wednesday night. And then we have other services as well. You can check that out on our website, mountlebanonbc.org. It's mtlebanonbc.org. I have a special announcement, and that is this coming Sunday, March the 12th, we're going to be having our spring revival services begin. Evangelist Benny Carper is going to be with us, Dr. Benny Carper, and he has been with us for the past several years in the spring. We're looking forward to that with Brother Carper Sunday morning at 11, Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m., and then Monday through Wednesday night at 7 p.m. So that is March the 12th through the 15th. We'd love for you to come out and be with us in any or all of our services. It's good to see Noah in the studio today. Hope you're having a good day so far. We just sort of come in here like a whirlwind. We don't talk a whole lot beforehand. So how's your day so far?
It's going well. We're staying busy, but glad to be here this morning. And we do want to say welcome to all those who are listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA and 96.5 FM out of Boone, North Carolina. Those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia, and our listeners on 89.1 FM The Truth out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners, and we're going to just go ahead and jump into the subject we've been dealing with. That is the subject of education. We've been studying now for 16 weeks. That's a school semester that we've been studying on the subject of education. We actually started back probably the end of November, I think. I was looking back. But anyway, whatever, you would go back 16 weeks from here. And so far we've covered a lot of history. And if you just listen in from week to week, you may not get the full gist of what we're talking about. We try to go back and sort of do a little bit of review, but actually we take it like chapters in a book. And we've just been going along studying about the history of education in America. We started in the 1600s with the Pilgrims. We came up through the colonial time period and spent a lot of time talking about that. And the past couple of weeks, we've been dealing with the 1800s. And the 1800s are really a transitional time. And we transitioned from the colonial to the modern school system that we have today. And we talked about the past couple of weeks the introduction of compulsory education laws that really changed the way education was carried out in our country. The first compulsory education laws were passed in 1852. By compulsory education, what we mean in saying that is it became the law that, you know, concerning education. We had the introduction of truant officers and the government becoming more and more involved in the education of our children. Now, there was ample and there was excellent education before government stepped in. In fact, there was a higher rate of literacy per capita, I guess you might say, than there even is today. And so it's not that that private educational practices were failing. They were quite common. And then we saw and we talked about those that were tutored, those that were homeschooled, the one-room schoolhouse, academies were very prevalent. And actually, right here in the area that we live in, there were many, many different private schools in different communities, a lot more than even there is today. Little communities, places like some of you may know about, we call it down off the globe. And that's down off the backside of Grandfather Mountain, small community down there. There was a school down there called John's River or at John's River. And just little places like that, out in Fosco and over in Baird's Creek. In fact, the church I pastor, Mount Lebanon, was started in the Bryan Schoolhouse. And so there were little schoolhouses. There was a schoolhouse over where I live now on Brushy Fork. My grandfather Greer talked about going there when he was a little boy. And actually, this is a personal note, but he told me, I asked him one time about when he got saved, when he come to know the Lord. And he said they were having revival up at Brushy Fork, and they let out school, and the school went to the church for the daytime revival services. And that is where my grandpa Greer came to know the Lord. And so a lot different. It's a lot different today than it used to be. But the 1800s, very transitional time period. We have the compulsory education laws. We talked about Horace Mann, the father of the common school movement. And that's what we pretty much think of today when you think about public schools, the elementary, the middle, the high schools, sort of like a factory. In fact, sometimes they're called factory schools. And they put a product in and they get a product out the other side. And in a factory, you have pretty much the same product comes out. And so that's one of the reasons why they're called the factory schools, not by those that are opposed to them either. But if you just read and study about these things, you'll come across that phraseology. And this Horace Mann that we begin to talking about, he and some others during that time period gave us the school system that we have today in America. And our school system, where once upon a time it was Americanized, it became based on a European model, the Prussian school model. And what I'm sharing with you is not something that I got off some anti-government website or some conspiracy book of some kind. If you just study, and you can find this, you can Google, look up Horace Mann on Wikipedia. This is common knowledge. If you are interested in the foundations of education in our country, this is how it came about. Now, I want to point out, or I want to say that I'm not throwing rocks at our schools or our school teachers or our students or anything like that. I am interested in the historical context. As I study, I have noticed that what we had once upon a time is not what we have today. And so just as a history of a student of history, I ask myself, what happened? Why is it so different? Is it for the better or is it for the worse? How is it affecting our children? Are they being educated to the best that we are able to educate children? Or, as we look at the product, are they being indoctrinated? Is something else going on there? I'm interested in the history of it. I'm interested in the foundation of it. And we've done a lot of study and talk about the different founders of the different time periods, Noah Webster, John Dewey, Horace Mann, as we've come along in our American history. The foundation of anything is very, very important. How it started. Psalms chapter 11, verse number 3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And so we've definitely moved away from the foundation. that we had as far as education is concerned in our country. Now, the Prussian school model, as we studied about this last week, the Prussian school model was not designed for the benefit, the primary benefit of the children. But the Prussian school model was designed for the benefit of the state, of the government, of the country, not the child. Their goal was to create and deliver compliant material to the state. Now, what does that mean? That means that their goal was to deliver citizens that would obey, citizens that would go along without question, citizens that would think the same, act the same, that would feel the different roles of life that the government had niched out for them. Whether that would be, we're going to put you over here and you're going to be a factory worker and you're going to work all your life for the government and we're going to give you a little bit to live on and then at the end we'll take care of you a little bit. And it's like in communist countries today, we're going to put you over here to be a doctor, and we see we're going to put you over here to be an engineer, and we're going to take a certain amount, and we're going to invest in making Olympic athletes out of them, or whatever the case might be. The government finds out where they need to be, and the government puts them where they want to go. And so that was the design of the Prussian school model, the benefit of the state, not the child. The Prussian school model, they knew, Froebel was the man's name, they knew that the sooner they could separate the children from the parents and their value system, the more successful they would be. They had more success with taking a child that was illiterate than they would taking a child that already knew how to read and begin to think for themselves. So the earlier they get the children away from mom and dad, the earlier they separate the children from mom and dad's value system and get them into the government system, the more success that they would have in turning out these little good citizens that would live their lives for the purpose the state gave to them. And we talked about last week that kindergarten is a German phrase. Kinder means begotten. It's talking about children. And guard, G-A-R-T-E-N, is German garden. And so that's where kindergarten in this country come from. It come not from America. It come from, and when we're talking about Prussia, you realize we're talking about Germany. Prussia became Germany. And evidently it works pretty good because the people of Prussia, just a short generation after what we're talking about in the mid-1800s, would follow Adolf Hitler. And a whole country, think about, and I read a couple of books along these lines, but how did the people in Germany go along with what was going on in Germany? How did they allow the concentration camps? How did they allow the death camps to go on? And I read a book one time, and it was talking about a church, and right behind the church, the railroad track, and the railroad would bring all these people into the camp. And nobody ever came out. And they knew what was going on, but they never talked about it. And when the train would come by and they were having church, they would turn their backs and they would sing as loudly as they could. And they would basically just ignore what was going on. The Prussian school system delivered a whole generation where a whole country pretty much went along with mass murder, and that's what went on in World War II. So it's a dangerous thing when people do not think for themselves, when people are raised for the benefit of the state and not the benefit of the child. Now, last week we talked about, and I've mentioned this several times, Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 6. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, that is talking about training up a child in a biblical way. That is talking about giving them teachings from the Word of God. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. But do you know that? That is a sword that cuts both ways. If you train up a child in the way he or she should not go, then when they're old, they will probably not depart from that. And so Christians realize this. The Jewish people realize this. Muslims realize this. Communist realizes this. Humanist realizes the same thing. Religion realizes the same thing, that when you are dealing with children, you are formulating a life that however they are raised is pretty much what and how they're going to be all the days of their life. This is why it's so very, very vital. It's so very, very important when we talk about the education of our children. Now, if we take a good, honest look at our schools and we look at the fruit that is being produced, and we think about, just think about this. Think about once upon a time, God was honored in our school system. We were taught that we did, that we were created, and that we would answer to God in the next life. And without getting into doctrinal, little doctrinal differences there, that was pretty much taught and believed across the board. Well, in the past several years in our country, we've gotten away from God. We used to be God-centered. Now we're man-centered. We're taught that there is no God. We are taught that we come from an accident, a big bang. We come from the animals. We're taught along with that there's no right, no wrong, no eternal purpose, no divine will in our lives. And so look at the impact that that has had now for several generations, the fruit of what is being produced. Are we producing scholars? Are we producing the best and the brightest in the world? The answer is no, we're not. We used to, but no longer. Are we producing inventors? Are we producing independent thinkers? Are we producing anybody that loves the Lord, that loves their country, that loves liberty, that loves the American way of life? Or have we gone down another road? I believe we've gone down another road. We are producing primarily those who are could be classified as just followers. I was reading something the other day that said, and this is a true statement, said the public school system was actually one of the most intolerant systems in America. Meaning if you don't line up with their agenda, with their teaching, there's no room at the table for you. Intolerant to independent thinkers. They don't want you thinking outside the box. They want everything inside the box. Followers, citizens of a global community. I've heard that several times in the past several years. Global citizens. Are we producing those who are antagonistic toward morality, toward religion, toward liberty, toward the United States Constitution, toward our founding fathers, toward our history? You find that more and more in the educational systems in our country. Well, let me give just a little timeline of what I would call government control in our educational system in America. If we look in the 1860s, now the first compulsory laws, meaning that it's a law for you to go to school, and if we look at the from that time forward, in the 1860s, there was established a Office of Education. It was a small federal office, and that's just the very beginning. That's what it was called, the Office of Education. Didn't take very long. That moved into the that office moved into the Federal Security Agency in 1939. That agency became the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare in 1953. That's something that I am familiar with in my lifetime, hearing about the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare. The National Institute of Education was added in 1972 to that, and then later on it just became the Department of Education in 1979. And still we have today with us the Department of Education. It is a huge, influential arm of the government, or department in the government. Now, we need to understand something about government in general. When government gets control of something, does government make it better or worse? I want to just mention something I've gone over several times. The true God-given purpose of government. What is government for anyway? Do we need government? I believe we do. I believe that government is a God-given institution, just like the family and just like the church. In fact, you find those three things, those three divine institutions in the Bible. First, you find the family. Then you find the institution of human government. God did give authority to govern, to have laws, to make laws. And then you have the institution of the church. Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." But when we read and study the Bible, what is the divine purpose of government? Romans chapter number 13, the Apostle Paul gives a good summary down through there of why we even have government. And it is very simple. It can be brought down to two things, the purpose of government. One is to protect the good. Government is to protect the good, to protect freedom, to protect individual rights and liberties, to protect that which is good, and number two, to punish that which is evil. There has to be laws. There has to be boundaries. And government is to punish the evildoer. Romans chapter 13, verse 3 said, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil." And so if you're doing right, if you're doing good, the rulers, they're not to bother you. But if you're doing evil, if you're killing, raping, robbing, stealing, all that stuff, the government is to protect the wicked or protect the good against the wicked. And so that's a primary purpose of government. And that applies in the local with local laws. You have property laws. You have civil laws. You have criminal laws. You have a sheriff. You have a police department. It applies in the community, the country. It applies all the way up through the state and the federal branches, up to having a national army to protect our borders and our people. And let me say, that's one of the reasons why, of all the things that government is involved in, one of the best things that we have, and I believe we could say this, that we probably have the best military in the whole wide world. Why do we have such a good military? Well, that is a fulfillment of God, of a God-given purpose to the government, that we would be able to protect and defend ourselves. But there are many other things that the government is involved in, and instead of making it better, it makes it worse. And I can't get into all this, but just think about it. Health care, is it better or is it worse? Well, it's worse. The more government is involved, the more the health care drops, the worse the insurance problem gets. Government has not made it better. It's made it worse. Retirement, Social Security. I feel like I could do a whole lot better job with what I've paid in than they've done. I mean, yeah, you get a little bit, but I'll tell you, if you were totally in control of that your own self, I believe most people could do better than Social Security. The housing market, we know in the past recent years what a mess the government's made out of that. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and all of that stuff. The post office loses money on an annual basis. I mean, how hard can that be? I mean, the Pony Express done better than we have today. cost of stamps is continually going up. You know, UPS, FedEx has a better rate, does a better job, not throwing any stones there, but it's just a government bureaucracy, and we have no choice but to use it. Social services, on and on we could go. But the same goes for the subject of education. It's no secret that the government wastes money, misuses money. The government spends more money per student than most private institutions and has less to show for it. Andrew Colson of the Social Philosophy and Research Center said this. He said, increased spending on public education does not lead to better quality. Yet that's all we hear, especially every election cycle. Politicians are talking about more money, better education. More money does not equal better education. But anyone who dares to mention otherwise, whether they are a Democrat or a Republican, is just attacked, and I mean they're the bad guy. They're the bad guy. In fact, anyone who rocks the educational boat in any way, well, that's an unforgivable sin. They have the mindset, keep the money coming, and but what do we have to show for it? I want you to consider this. This is a quote from a book. It's called Dependent on D.C. It says this, the most successful tyranny is not the one that uses force to assure uniformity, but the one that removes the awareness of other possibilities, that makes it seem inconceivable that other ways are viable, that removes the sense that there is an outside. And so I believe we find that same protection goes on in the educational community. And that's why there's such an opposition to private schools, homeschools, charter schools, all the different options that you have when it comes to educating our children. They develop this mindset that this is the only option and we've got to put all our eggs in this one basket. That is educational tyranny. Now, our time is quickly coming and going today. You know, I'm a pastor. I'm a father. I'm a concerned citizen. And I will put it like this. I'm not for the school. None of us today listening should be for the school. We should be for the child. I'm for the child over the school. I'm not for the teacher. I'm for the parent first. I just believe this. I believe the parent knows better than the teacher does how to raise a child, how to best educate. I'm not saying take them in homeschooling, but they ought to have a choice. They ought to be able to say financially, I want to make this choice for my child. You see, we all pay for public education through our taxes. And if you do something else, you pay for it twice. You pay once through the taxes, and then you buy it on the private market. I'm not for the curriculum. I'm for education. I'm not for the system. I'm for the individual. That ought to be our mindset. Well, we've talked a whole lot about foundations. We've left our foundation of a home-controlled, God-centered educational system. We have a state-controlled, man-centered educational system, which in and of itself is its own religion, the religion of humanism. God never authorized the government to raise our children. He authorized parents to raise, educate, and bring up our children. Well, our time is quickly come and gone today. Thank you for listening. I hope you have a great week. And it's you'll tune in next week at this same time. Have a great day, and God bless you is our prayer.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. It's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us through our church phone number at 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website. It is mountlebanonbc.org. That's mtlebanonbc.org. This is